Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma, Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of things to get into. The weekend action just right across the street, basically, here. I'm sure Jared can't wait to gloat and brag on his daughter, who hit a couple of home runs, I noticed. So we'll have to endure that for a little while. College football playoff stuff that we didn't get to on Friday. And then, of course, Jim Traver at 9:30. I know he's got some takes on that. A bunch of other things as well. It's U.S. Open week in golf out at Torrey Pines. Last time that tournament was held at Torrey Pines is one of the most memorable U.S. Opens of all time, with Tiger Woods basically winning that one on one leg. NBA playoffs are heating up. And then also something that you and I kind of got a little bit into on Friday, but not all the way, was Patty Gasso and her accomplishments and where she kind of ranks in the pantheon of coaches at the University of Oklahoma. It's pretty interesting if you really get down to it and what she's been able to do. So that's kind of what we've got on our minds today for Jim, and then also just for us here in the first half of the show. All right, Jared, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy Flag Day.
Yeah, that's right. It is Flag Day. I'm kind of beat down.
You're beat down?
I mean, I don't think I've recovered from the heat from Saturday, being right out in, 12 hours worth of being out in the heat.
I'm recovering. I'm right there with you. We were out there yesterday. Right there with you.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad yesterday, at least early.
Nah, not early. In fact, it was sprinkling on us early. Mm-hmm. That was nice. But yeah, I'm recovering. That's how I am. It was a fun weekend. We were at the ball fields more than we were at home.
No.
We lived out there. Fun weekend for all.
All right, so tell us about it, Jared.
Just another weekend of softball. End of league tournament. It was fun. Congratulations to the Cheyenne Spikes winning the 8U league tournament. Canute Trojanettes took runner-up. Elk City took third. Navajo took fourth. So those four teams technically qualify for a state tournament if they want to go. And we're going to go ahead and go. And I think Cheyenne's going too, and that's cool. That's really cool. We get good representation from this side of the state. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. There were some tight games between those teams I just mentioned. A lot of fun stuff. A lot of good things happening. Like you mentioned, I was wondering how to approach this. I don't sound like I'm bragging, but my kid hit a couple dingers. Maybe not in the traditional sense, but we count them as home runs if they hit the ball and they make it all the way around in one trip.
Now, wait a minute. I was under the impression she hit it over the fence.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you were. And she could if she focused a little harder.
Oh, now, let's not go overboard.
I'm just being a dad here.
Let's not go overboard.
But I've always told her, you put the ball in play, good things will happen.
Yeah, especially at that age.
Yeah. I said just concentrate on putting bat to ball, and good things will happen. And then, and I'll admit, she was getting real frustrated because she was seeing other teammates have home runs. And she was like, Dad, how come I can't get a home run? I said, I'm just going to tell you what I've always told you. You put bat to ball, good things will happen. You put it in play, good things will happen. And it did this weekend. It happened at the right time, too, in the league tournament. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Saw a lot of people. It's turned into one of my favorite things, just seeing people from other towns. That's really the only time you get to see them at these tournaments and talking with them and hanging out a little bit. A lot of fun. And, again, this team, this whole season, they've exceeded my expectations because they have gotten better and better. And not just our team, see like the Elk City team. I mean, they got some studs on that team. Cheyenne, like I mentioned, they got some hitters top to bottom on their lineup. And it's fun when you go up against good teams like that. And then the sportsmanship that we see later, too. It's just, it's really special. Fun weekend. How about you? How about on the other side? How'd it go?
It was a mess. No. I'm totally kidding.
Okay. Kids Inc., sorry about that.
Well, don't get me started here. Because no one knows the rules, I guess. Anyhow, it was fun. There was a bunch of good games. Kind of like yours. Does it sound like the seeding was right as far as the way the tournament finished was the way that it was seeded?
This is true. That's right.
It was the same for the 10U guys. The Crushers ended up beating Cheyenne in the final. Not really sure what the score was, but it wasn't a nail biter by any stretch as they got out on top early and just kind of got out, then scored some runs and they were way ahead. So they won. They beat Cheyenne. The Sarah Eagles were third. There was a nail biter in the game to get to the title game with Cheyenne. It was nothing through three innings.
Wow.
We scored a run in the fourth. They got one back in the fourth. Or no. Yeah. And then the fifth, we had bases loaded, one out, hit a sharp line drive to the first baseman. He caught it.
Oh, wow.
But didn't get doubled off. And then a pop-up to second. Ended the threat. And then they got a hit, got around to third, and then playing everybody in, little dribbler right past the pitcher, and scored one. 2-1. But it was good. The Hobart team, they got fourth. They got better and better and better as the season went along. And, I think early yesterday, like you said, it was raining. And with having to pitch in it, which those kids probably never have.
Right.
And I think that probably because the pitcher that they threw against our team was better than really threw strikes.
Right.
And I think having a hard time holding on to the ball a little bit as it kind of got wet. So that was a tough break for them. But our team played really well that game, really well against Cheyenne, had every chance to win, and I think, quite honestly, outplayed them. Just didn't get the hit or made a mistake on the base paths. You know, when you got first and second, nobody out, and the ball kind of gets away from the catcher, but not really, you get thrown out at third for the first out. It's like, oh, what are you doing? You know, it's little things like that when you play a good team, get you beat if you don't execute them the way you're supposed to. And that's what happened yesterday. You kind of had a chance to really build a lead with guys on base, didn't do it, and when you let a good hitting team hang around, eventually that's going to bite you, and that's what happened to the Little Eagles. So third, just like what you were talking about, though, watching those teams get better.
Isn't that cool?
From the first of the summer to the end. There's no doubt that our team has because it was a far cry from back in March or April to where they're at now. So really good, really, really fun weekend. The weather outside of just being blistering hot on Saturday, it was pretty nice while we were there yesterday. You know, the sun would come out, then you go behind the clouds, and it would, you know, the difference in the shade and the sun temperature was shocking almost.
Yeah. But
it was pretty nice. It'd be 75 at game time yesterday at 1 o'clock with a little bit of rain dripping down.
Yeah, just spitting a little rain. Not bad. Not bad at all.
No, it was nice.
You know what was rough was Friday night. We had our league wrapped up on Friday, and our first game was at 5:30. And that was probably the hottest part of the day, time of the day.
Yeah.
We were, as parents, almost panicking, trying to keep those girls cool. You know, everybody had those wet towels, what do they call them, frog togs, and we're just rotating those in and out. We had a rotating catcher system. You know, one catcher would catch one inning, and then they'd trade, and that other catcher would sit down, you know, instead of going out into the outfield or something, just because that catcher's gear, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Adds it on. So, just really, you know, man, I couldn't tell you how many times I told Katie, drink water, drink water, drink water. Even when I got her to get her ready, gave her a bottle of water, started drinking. Drink it. We got to stay hydrated. Yeah, Friday was a little scary. So we all us parents, like, okay, I'll bring this for Saturday, and made sure they stayed cool through Saturday. And then Sunday was just a relief. Just yesterday, just how it started was a relief. By the time we got to the afternoon, I guess we were acclimated. It didn't really bother me. But and then we had a nice little pool party afterwards. So that was nice to see those girls relax and cool off in the pool. So, fun weekend. Fun weekend.
So now you got two weeks?
Yeah, less than 2 weeks. And then we'll see how we do at state. It'll be interesting. We'll really kind of measure up how we, because we know how we are out here and how we measure up with some other teams. And I'm interested to see how our fellow league teams play over there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cheyenne, Elk City. And I know us and Elk will basically be preparing together, like with some scrimmages and stuff. I think that's smart. It'll be fun. So I'm interested to see how that is, you know, because we think we're good, right? let's go see how good we are against these other teams.
Right.
Yeah. But the whole atmosphere out here is really cool. And we've talked about that. And I think that's going to be really special for the girls. Look forward to it.
Well, fantastic. We'll probably get a full recap as that goes along. So on late Thursday afternoon or so, the College Football Playoff Committee basically announced their findings after months and months of research into what an expansion would look like, what would make the most sense. They come away with the 12-team model, so jumping from 4 to 12, with the top six conference champions being in the field and then six at-large teams being in the field.
Okay. Right.
Nobody is guaranteed a spot. So it's not like the group of five or the power five are guaranteed five of the top six spots and then the group of five gets one. That's not how it works. If two group of five teams win their conference and are ranked ahead of one of the big five conferences champ, those two are in. And then from there, the other conference titleist has to hope that they get one of the at-large bids. So it's not like a lot of times the models you heard for an eight, or even once it became apparent that it was going to be 12, everyone's like, okay, what's it going to be like? Well, the top, the power five conferences get a spot. One of the group of five gets a spot, and then six. That's not the way it is. It is conference champs, but it's not guarantees to anybody.
Right.
So that's a little bit different, I think, than what a lot of us thought. And then in the first round, 1 through 4 gets a bye, 5 through 8 play at home against 9 through 12. And then it looks like from there they're going to use the big bowls that we've known as the BCS Bowls or the Bowl Alliance or whatever it is now, the New Year's Six, going to use those as for quarterfinals on. So that's kind of the framework that the details that we know. There's a lot to get ironed out before any of this is official. But I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that when this expansion does happen, it's going to 12. I mean, this is where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost no reason to talk about anything else because this is just what's going to happen. Now, how exactly it looks and how everything gets ironed out, we'll see. So, from what we do know about the format and the way it looks like it's going to be set up, what is something that you would change to it outside of less teams? Because there's no, like I said, there's no reason to say, well, I'd have 8 teams, because it's not going to happen. It's going to be 12.
Yeah.
So, what is something that you would change to make it better in your mind from what it looks like is going to happen?
I think, and it's something we talked about for those four that get the bye, then we think that meant they would not be able to host a game. I think they need to find a way to let them host a game. Reward them. I mean, that should be their reward, is to host a game, right? I mean, you would think that was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, wow, that'd be cool to go play a Big 12 championship game, win it, and then have a chance to host a playoff game, being OU or OSU. You know, that's like an extra present under the tree, you know? So that's, I think, something that they need to look at.
That's one of mine for sure.
Okay.
Is, you know, because even in the 8-team models, it was first round games on the campus of the higher seed,
right,
which had been 1 through 4 versus 5 through 8. And so, and one of the things that makes college football what it is those atmospheres in those on campus in those stadiums, And so I completely agree. I love the idea of that, the first two rounds, you know, being on campus to let the atmospheres, you know, speak for themselves. Does that give 1 through 4 an advantage? Probably. And the one...
Wasn't that the idea of having a bye anyways?
I guess, but the one thing that would concern me a little bit is how subjective that is. There's no real criteria to be in the top four to earn the bye. So it's, you know, and I guess it doesn't matter at the end of the day if a team that doesn't win their conference is in the top four of the rankings. That's just the way it is. And you know, I do like the idea of, you know, the best get the bodies of work. But I just – there's some of that seems a little bit sticky to me or could be sticky to me when it really gets down into practice. But I completely agree. I love that idea. And then I think it's going to be interesting to see how they – you know, with all of this that's happened so far, there has been such a bowing down to the needs and the wants of the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I had a question about that. Go ahead.
And so I guess here's my question or solution or whatever to the problem that might create. And I think it's a pretty simple one. If the Rose Bowl has to be where they want to be traditionally, then they just simply are never going to host the title game.
Yeah.
However the schedule breaks out, if you want to be at 3:30 Eastern time on ABC, then that's when you're going to be. But don't come crying to us when that's a quarterfinal. If they stick with what it looks like they're going to. So, I mean, listen, it's the granddaddy of them all and all that. But think of the problems that it's created just in the playoff era by having to do whatever to make the Rose Bowl appease the Rose Bowl and make them happy. I hope that isn't the case, and then that can just kind of move on down the way and. And maybe they, you know, whatever it takes to appease them. But so anyhow, that's kind of a few of the things that I've thought about that, you know, that I would change from what currently. What do you think about the Notre Dame thing? So Notre Dame, not being in a conference, cannot ever get a bye because they cannot ever be a conference champion.
Right. I'm surprised that Notre Dame is willing to sign off on this. I mean, think about that. Think about if they're go undefeated and they're number one in the nation and they're okay with not having a bye. That just seems very odd to me.
Yeah, I wonder.
I'm surprised. That's why I always thought this whole plan, without reading it, just reading the headlines and seeing 12 teams and just seeing the sub headlines underneath it, and I thought, Notre Dame's going to throw a wrench in all this. They're going to be the problem because they're not in a conference, and they're mighty Notre Dame.
And they are.
And you talk about appeasing to people. That's college football has bowed down to them a lot because of the brand. Mm-hmm. Win or lose, it's Notre Dame. Rudy. So I thought that was going to be a problem. And I'm surprised that they – are okay with this model of them never being able to get a bye.
Yeah, I don't think they're looking at it from the same viewpoint as you are thinking. I think they're looking at it as all we have to do is be decent, we're in the thing. Because of the amount of spots that it opened up with the 6 at-larges. Mm-hmm. As opposed to right now, they're really on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Because the truth of it is, if those conference champs,
yeah, they needed that. They need that.
They need the extra spots, and right. So I think. And oh, by the way, guess what? There's probably a fair chance because they're Notre Dame, they're going to be when they make the playoff, they're going to be 5th through 8th. So what does that mean? Home game.
Well, yeah.
And then because of their national following, if those games are played off campus from the quarterfinals on, it'll probably be a spot where they won't be at a disadvantage from a fan's point of view because of the way that they can travel and the national brand that they are.
Right.
So I guess in that sense, I just think they're looking at it from through the lens of, man, this opens up chances where if we're just decent, we're in every single year.
Right.
And if there's some years where we're really, really good, we'll take that because of some years we're going to get in when we're maybe not quite as good.
Right. Again, that brand carries a lot of weight.
It does.
That can bolster their ranking. So, yeah, I mean, I could see that. And a lot of teams could say that, too. You know, a lot of teams that are considered top-tier football programs could have a mediocre year and still slip in. Mediocre by their standards, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that really plays out because, you know, the immediate reaction is, oh, my God, the SEC is going to get three or four every year. Which, maybe so. You know, and guaranteed, too. You know what's weird? In the whole history of the playoffs so far, the SEC has never had two teams.
Yeah.
If it, you know, if it were to be 12 the whole time, since 2014, the way that the rankings would have set up, they would have never had two. Isn't that odd?
That's very odd.
They would have had one twice, three times, and four twice, including last year. Which last year, you kind of take that one with a grain of salt because, I mean, the Big Ten was basically out except for Ohio State since they went undefeated and the hype that was around them. I mean, they were basically out anyway. And then the Pac-12 was completely out.
Right.
When it came to really seriously ranking them. So I just – last year was last year, and I kind of – I don't know that one – you know, you could put it into the to this list that I've made, but it's just kind of a weird, odd year for the way that that was. But which conference do you think would have had the most? Were you listening on Friday to the guys in the afternoon?
Not.
Which conference do you think would have had the most playoff teams since the playoffs started in 2014 through now? If we would have had this system in place the entire time,
I feel like the Big Ten.
Big Ten by one, 20. They would have never just had one team.
I can see that.
They'd had two teams twice, four teams three times, and one four-teamer. SEC was next with 19. Big 12 was next with 12. And so by percentage.
Just curious, where's ACC?
Them and the Pack are tied at 11. Now they.
Makes sense.
The ACC had the most years with only one team, which was four. Big 12 with three, Pack with two. But by percentage of teams in your conference, the Big Ten, 20% of their availability was filled, 19% for the SEC, 17% for the Big 12. So they benefit the raw numbers. They're third, and then when you know per capita, when you realize there's only 10 teams in the conference this whole time, so 12 out of 70 as opposed to 12 out of 84 for the others with 14. So that's where their percentage jumps up right in the neighborhood with the SEC and in the Big Ten. Everyone else lagging behind. Here's something that I thought was fascinating. The Group of Five would have got somebody every year.
I believe it.
Every year, at least one, and twice last year.
Yeah, I believe it.
And then Notre Dame would have been there three different times. So, I mean, we think of it as Notre Dame, and they'd have been there three out of seven. So, And that, I guess that goes to both arguments. One of, well, why are we placating to them? And really kind of didn't this time. Mm-hmm. And then two, for them, opening up as many opportunities to get there because, sometimes they need it. So yeah. I think it's a really interesting idea. I like it that there's more games. I love that it's going to make more games in November matter because – of the weight the conference champions get for qualifying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to make it less regional of a watching event in the bigger games later on in the season. I wonder how scheduling goes now.
Well, that's where I was going to go because you got the potential of a team who doesn't get a bye and goes on to win this thing or playing for the title of playing, 17 games?
Possibility, yeah.
I mean, that's asking a lot. I mean, when you're thinking about, circling back to Gasso, we'll talk about her coming up, and when she talks about protecting the student athlete, you're asking them to play 17 games in a season. That's a lot for the NFL.
Yeah, I mean,
much less the NCAA.
There's no reason to pretend like the NCAA has any care whatsoever for the student athlete anymore.
I know, but the question.
But they need
be,
money here. But it's not just the NCAA. And here's the interesting thing: the NCAA isn't the one mandating this. It's college presidents that need money.
Right.
It's athletic departments that need money. And we're going to pick on the NCAA. I guarantee you, Jim, well, here in just a couple of minutes. But it's not necessarily them making this choice. I mean, the football champ isn't NCAA sanctioned.
Well, I understand.
You know, it's a different. I mean, yeah, they have to follow the quote unquote rules, but it's not really the NCAA. That's why we always called it a mythical national champion, because the NCAA didn't name one.
Right.
But I do understand that point of view, and I wonder if that shrinks the regular season down,
or starts it later.
What do you mean later?
Well, I mean, traditionally it starts Labor Day weekend. Could you see it? We talk about shrinking down, maybe cutting off some non-conference games instead of having three, maybe two or one.
Yeah, that's where
and then start later in the year, like the second or third weekend of September.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening, because Labor Day is college
football. We're going to see more buys.
Well, I mean, you've got a whole month there where you're going to have to fill.
Yeah.
For sure, the first, you know, in between conference title games and January 1, surely one of those playoff games happens then.
Yeah.
Joined now by the host of the number one sports talk show in America in the afternoon. He is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, fellas. How's everything out there? Good?
Yeah, we got some rain, but man, there's still those little cotton seeds floating around in the air, and it's not doing very good for my allergies. It seems like about every other 15 minutes or so, I'm coughing up a bunch of phlegm, and it's really not that much fun.
Well, get rid of all that stuff before I get out there July 1st.
Yeah. All right, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the world of sports. Where do you want to start? I've got college football, NBA playoffs.
Whatever you want, man. I'm a follower.
Okay. Let's talk about the college football playoff. I heard you talking Friday, and we were just talking about the scheduling and the amount of games and how it's time to quit acting like anybody cares about the health of the student athletes, because it's all about the money, and especially with what happened with COVID. So that's a point that I think we can all kind of agree on. Outside of those concerns, what don't you like about the format that it looks like is coming to us with the 12-team playoff?
Well, and you know, if you listen to Barry Trammell, he says, I get this deep, dark heart, but I don't like Coastal Carolina in this thing. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, why would you put teams in a tournament? And I know people are going to say, what about the 64 team? Oh, it's totally different in the basketball deal. It's been going on forever. But I don't understand why you're going to put people in this tournament that have no chance. And frankly, 9, 10, 11, and 12 have no chance. They just don't. So that's the thing that bothers me the most about it, but I understand it. I mean, it's all about money. It has nothing to do with people's safety. They don't care at all about student-athlete. I would love to. You know how sometimes, guys, with politicians, you'll have a quote from 2014, and then like in 2019, they'll have the exact opposite quote, right? I mean, that happens all the time. I would love to hear some of the presidents of universities who 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago said, we cannot continue to go and put more schools into this. We have to worry about finals. We have to worry about it. And then I'd love to hear what they're saying now. And here's my other question. I'd love to see if there was no such thing as COVID, would we have gone to 12 teams? I think this is obviously all about money. For me, I mean, more football is great, but I don't know why 8 is literally perfect. And I know that there's probably no chance at all that a team plays 17 games, but there's a great chance that they're going to play 16. There's an unbelievable chance that teams are going to play 15. And you start getting to the NFL schedule, so I just think it's ridiculous.
Because of the money, this is probably not likely, but I was wondering if maybe a non-conference game or two gets chopped off the first of the schedule to try to keep those games down. But with COVID and everything you just said there, that seems like kind of a pipe dream that those colleges, the presidents, the athletic directors would be willing to give up the money that they're going to generate by playing no matter who it is on their home field.
Yeah, that's not going away. I mean, they're not cutting any games. They're adding games. That's what they're doing. But they're not cutting. And I hear people saying, well, maybe they won't play the
the conference championships. Of course they're going to play the conference championships. Two reasons. One, money, and one, because they have to figure out who wins the conference. So, And frankly, that's going to be interesting. Skinny, you were texting me, giving me some good info last Friday. But I'm going to be interested to see what the Big 12. I have a feeling this is not going to be good for the Big 12. Maybe I'm wrong. All those teams like Kansas State, by the way, was there any year in the last 10 where you could say, oh, yeah, I want Kansas State in there? I know they won the Big 12 that year, but I'm sorry. This league right now is not any good, and it's going to be really interesting to see if they can get more than one team in. You know, SEC will definitely get at least two. I wonder if the Big 12 is going to be getting two. We'll see.
I've questioned this to Aaron more than once, and I'll ask you, are you shocked that Notre Dame is signing off on this, that they're willing to not have a bye ever because they're not in a conference?
I can't believe that they are. I don't know what Swarbrink is doing. I'm sure that there's alumni of Notre Dame that are going crazy. Unless there's something behind the scenes that we don't know, like maybe they're going to join. If this thing starts in 23-24, then maybe Notre Dame is going to, you know, join the ACC in 23-24. I know that 2 years from now, Notre Dame, I know you guys know this, they play Ohio State and Clemson in the same year. Now, that is some serious football. I'm going to tell you right now, if that was a year that, and they were to beat both of those teams, let's just say, and they don't get a bye, well, that's just stupid. You know, I just another stupid thing about this whole thing that they put together, but I don't know why they couldn't do eight. Eight would have been fine. And you could Notre Dame can get an at large berth in that situation. But don't you think, guys, that they're trying to force Notre Dame into a conference?
Seems like it, and that's what Jared was talking about. You know, when they're the high end and they don't get a bye, I was wondering if maybe because it opens up the six at large bids, if you're Swarbrink, you're thinking, okay, maybe those years where we're borderline, we're going to get the benefit of the doubt most of the time and be able to be in the bottom of that, you know, 12-team playoff, or even in the years we're good, it guarantees us a home game. And then also when we go to the next game, you know, at a neutral site, because of our following, because of our national brand, we'll have a better chance if it sounded like a Notre Dame home game than most schools out there.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Let me ask you this, too. The guaranteeing that, you know, to be a national seed, I guess you would call it, a top four seed, you have to win a conference. What if Georgia goes undefeated and Alabama goes undefeated and Alabama beats Georgia by a field goal in the SEC championship, and then the winner of the Pac-12 has three losses? You think that those three, that team should be in that terrible league, you think that team should be seeded higher than Georgia? I mean, see what I'm saying? I mean, why can't we just say the best four teams in the country, and then let's put the best eight teams in the country? Why can't we do that? All these politics and everything, it just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, you just have the committee rank 1 through 12, and that's what you get, no matter where they're right from or who they are.
Absolutely. That's exactly the way it should be, but I guess, I'm sure the Pac-12 is celebrating like crazy. But it's just, I don't know. To me, the thing is kind of ridiculous. But at least they're going further than four. I've always wanted to go to eight. I thought eight would be perfect. But they had to come up with something different. And I understand the money. I mean, I'm not the one who's doing the books. I'm sure that the books are horrible right now for universities.
Let's go to yesterday. A name that we've heard on your show, Bo Van Pelt, kind of comes out of nowhere. I know he's been hurt for the last, golly, 24 months probably. But, man, ends up a shot back. How cool and how neat is it to see him kind of regain his form at 46 years old?
I was so happy. I was sitting in here, and I was yelling. I was yelling, man. When he drains like the eagle putt, I'm yelling. When he missed a putt there for par, I was yelling. You know, guys, it's incredible. You know, everybody can say if. If he just pars 18, you know, that's all he's got to do. He, you know, he's going to be in a playoff with the guy who's in his own group. So I was so happy for him. And he's got to be excited. That's the first paycheck he's gotten in a while. Big paycheck. What do you got? 400-something thousand.
six-way tie for second place. But yeah, I'm really excited for him, and I hope that you know that this can get him going again. You know, because I'll tell you this too, he's going to really need the senior tour. You know, he needs to stay healthy. You know, a lot of these golfers nowadays that get to 50 years old, they don't need a penny, right, guys?
Right.
I mean, the money they're making. But Bo's going to need it because he's missed a couple of really big years, like almost 3 years of really being able to earn some money. So if he can just get after it the next 3 or 4 years and maybe win a little bit here and there and then get to that senior tour and start winning some money there, that would be really good for him. Boy, he looked good, though, didn't he, guys? He really did, man. Those two eagles, those two second shots he hit on those two par fives. Uh-oh, we got some tickle going on. There it is. There it is. Look out. The cottonwoods are getting after you.
No,
but anyway, you know, wasn't that cool, though, man? It was so cool, man.
It really, really was. Now, talk me off the ledge, because conspiracy theorist in me is thinking that, okay, we see John Rahm test negative twice over the weekend, so now he gets to play the U.S. Open. How do we know that they didn't just eliminate $1.7 million out of his bank account over a false positive a week before at the Memorial?
Oh,
I think there's a legitimate chance that they did. I mean, this COVID thing is just getting a little bit ridiculous now. You know, I talk about it on the radio. No one wants to listen to me about it, but the NBA, the PGA, all they're doing is things for show. That's all they're doing. All they care about is how they look. The NBA is the most ridiculous thing. Those players going over to the bench and putting their masks on and wearing them over their chins and 18,000 people in the stands with, like, you know, one quarter of them with masks on, they just look stupid, but they don't care. And then this PGA thing, well, I'll tell you, man, it's really a shame. I wonder. I'd love to put a truth serum in John Rahm. Would you like to hear, fellas, what he's going to say?
Absolutely. Because he's got to be thinking that. He's got to be.
Yeah. There's no doubt. False positives, false negatives. We still don't know what we're doing with this thing, right? I mean, it's ridiculous, but whatever. I mean, everybody, I'm getting ready to get on a plane this coming Saturday to go to Vegas. We'll be in there, and people will be wearing masks, and people will be fighting and everything else. It's one of the only places you have to wear a mask nowadays. Although I do have to wear my mask to physical therapy, so, which is a little bit ridiculous, too. Everybody in there is vaccinated, but we're wearing masks. And that makes a lot of sense.
I want to go to the U.S. Open and talk about the U.S. Open. Surely the USGA is looking at pairing up Brooks and Bryson, right? Surely, for the viewers that would be glued to the TV, that'd be huge.
Yeah, first of all, don't call me Shirley. great line from a movie. I'm sure you guys remember it, right?
Oh, Airplane, absolutely.
Airplane, great movie. Look, there's no doubt that they should be paired, but they're not going to be, right? We don't think they're going to be, do we? I mean, the PGA doesn't want any of that stuff. They're a bunch of sissies. They want to go way back. If they do, I'll bow down to them. I really will. I'll bow down to them. But, yeah, it would be the perfect scenario to put the two of them together. And I love what Kepka – I'm starting to like Kepka more and more. I mean, I love what Kepka said the other day about how this is good for golf. You know, I agree with him. It is good for golf. But he is – I would love to see it. And I'd love to see DeChambeau swing as hard as he possibly can. Have you seen the have either one of you seen the rough here yet?
Yes. Yeah, I saw a video of it this weekend.
I haven't. Is it high?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful. I hope DeChambeau is in the rough all day. I hope he breaks a wrist when he goes into the rough trying to get it out. I'm serious. I'm so sick of that dude. And you know what? You said this the other day, I think, when we were on. He's just kind of like a mad scientist, and I don't really think he means to be the idiot that he is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think you've been around people that say things and don't even know they're being a stupid, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I think that's what he is.
Why'd you look at me?
Yeah, Jared does it all the time.
That's good stuff.
No, he seems like one of those guys that, and we all know somebody like this, he's so kind of book smart the way he analyzes things, that he just has no common sense, and that leads to saying just the dumbest things that everybody just kind of turns and looks and goes, what is he talking about?
Yeah. Well, he's got somebody now that called his bluff, right? Koepka. Koepka's literally called his bluff, so we'll see. And now, you know, he does exactly what someone would do that we're talking about. He's like, oh no, man, everything's okay. I don't even know what, you know, he's acting like he doesn't even know what's happening. And frankly, he may not know what's happening. That's what's unbelievable. He may wonder why he's being mean to me. You know, why is he being mean to me? Jeez, unbelievable.
All right, NBA playoffs, a couple things there. Give me the odds that with what happened last night, the reigning MVP, if his name was James Harden, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, one of the American guys that is established, gets kicked out for that foul that Jokic committed.
Well, I mean, I can't really – I mean, I would hope that what you're saying is wrong, but it could very well be wrong. I talk about it all the time. I think that the Europeans get treated bad all the time. People can't stand the fact that they've come over here and have become some of the best players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I don't care anybody in the league. I mean, Andre Robertson shouldn't have gotten that daggone foul. I mean, guys, what hang out a flagrant two? He slapped at the ball very hard and hit him by mistake. Is there a person in the world that thinks that Jokic tried to do that on purpose? Seriously, does anybody believe that? This is the most mild-mannered Pillsbury doughboy there is. And, you know, after the game, he apologized to Cameron Payne. I mean, come on, man. That is just – and by the way, they probably still don't win, and they definitely don't win the series, but – I just can't believe that they kicked him out of the game. That's just stupid. These rules, the rules in every sport are just becoming so sissified. So sissified.
To the other side of the court there with the Suns, how surprised are you that they have been able to take what they've done in the regular season and really build on it and be even a better version of themselves so far in the playoffs, especially on the defensive end of the floor?
Yeah, they really are. Ayton's been amazing. You know, he's gone up against two all-stars and done. He's held his own. Now, more than likely, he's going to, or hopefully, Utah wins and he's going to have to go up against Gobert. I certainly didn't expect them to sweep, but I kind of thought they had a great chance to get to where they are. Chris Paul, just a tremendous leader. You saw what he did here. I mean, he made everybody around him better, and that's what he's doing there. And, you know, the dude that nobody talks about, man, that I think can really play is Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, man, that dude—he's a good player. So yeah, they've done a good job of drafting, and they did a good job of bringing in, obviously, Chris Paul, and they did a great job of bringing in their coach. So Phoenix has got it going on right now. They really do. They've figured it out, and I'm telling you right now, if Chris Paul wants $100 million over 5 years, I'm doing it. I mean, I understand that he may not 5 years from now be great. But for $20 million a year and to lose the $46 million that they owe him right now, I think that would be a no-brainer, don't you guys? I mean, you got to do that.
Absolutely, because even if things go south after, you know, year two or three, trying to unload $20 million off onto somebody else is so much easier than what it was to get rid of that contract. And it's amazing. It's still kind of amazing to me. When you think about him and Westbrook, kind of the exact same contract, and nobody thought they were even tradable, and both of them have been traded twice.
that's a really good point. We need to stop talking about contracts not being able to be traded. I'll tell you this, too. If you do it, why don't you pay him, you know, why don't you go 30?
Yeah.
Why don't you go 30, 30, 25? And then make the last 2 years, what would that be? That'd be 60, 80. Oh, I don't want to have to go that low. Maybe I go 30, 30, 20, and then go 10, 10,
yep.
Right? I mean, then he still gets his money, but you're not being killed at the end of it if he's not as good. So, yeah, that's a no-brainer. I would do that in a heartbeat.
It seems kind of like a perfect storm right now for if you're a Thunder fan. And what I mean by that is, the Clippers, nobody's ever come back from 0-2 down twice in the same playoff to win. So you kind of get the feeling that may go the way you want it to with draft picks and the possibility of that blowing up. You know, the Bucks all of a sudden have come back from the dead, tying it 2-2. The super teams are on the ropes, and that can't do anything but kind of give Thunder fans hope that, hey, what's happening now in the league, the teams that are right there in the playoff chase looking for a title, that's the way we have to do it too.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand your angle. I just don't know if it's true. It'd be nice to think that. Look, the whole deal is, fellas, a week from tomorrow, they got to get lucky. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, what if the Thunder get the daggone seventh pick? You know, then they have 7 and 18. You know, I mean, but what if they get lucky and get Houston gets 5 and they get like 2? So I just think it all has to do with those stupid ping pong balls, really. But I do understand what you're saying. I'm just happy. I mean, I don't ever want to see anybody get hurt long term, but short term, I'm in. So I'm excited about the dudes being hurt for the Nets, and I hope the Bucks take advantage of it. I really do. And the unbelievable thing about it is we're sitting here worried about this. You know why? Because Durant's probably the best player in the world.
Yep.
And he might still be able to get it done with the guys around him. But, man, if the Bucks were to lose this series, if the other two don't play at all, the rest of it, that'd be embarrassing, man. Two of the best three players on the team and you lose a playoff series? So I'm just hoping that the Bucks get their act together and get it. And then the Clippers make me sick. I hope that Utah can win game 4 and just get this thing going to be done, because I'm tired of watching them.
Jim, we can't let you go without your thoughts about OU softball winning the national title. And the question I brought up Friday on the show was Patty Gasso and where she ranks as a head coach at the University of Oklahoma. Outside of importance of sport or what sport it is, she has to be up there with the all-time greats. We're talking with Bud and Barry, right?
No doubt. I mean, yes. I mean, she's won 5 national championships. I'll be shocked if they weren't right. If they aren't right there next year for a number 6. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the best coaches in the history of the school, obviously Bud and Barry are there. I mean, Bob Stoops is maybe just a little bit of a step beneath them. You got Greg Williams, the guy with the gymnastics. But yeah, she's at the top, man. She's right there with them. And I think people look at that and go, well, how can you do that? Well, we're not talking about, like, yeah, does she bring in as much money? No. Is it as important to the school? No. But if you're just talking about the coach of their sport, she is definitely up there. Definitely up there.
How much do you think obviously winning's going to help, but we've seen those renderings of the field, trying to build her a new stadium and all that. You know, the economic downturn came at the wrong time for her as far as the pandemic. And so is that one of those things that's just always going to kind of be out there as a dream? Or do you think as we get to recovering with their success, that maybe even next season becomes a huge season in actually getting that project off the ground?
Well, I think that COVID really messed that up. I mean, I would be shocked that if in the next couple of months we don't have some kind of announcement that they're going to break ground. They need somebody to give, I guess the word is, somewhere between $5 and $10 million. And if somebody wants to put their name on it, then they could give $10 million and their name will be on it. Be a nice legacy for somebody that can fire $10 million around. But they're going to do it. They're just trying to find one more or two more people. And I think that after this national championship and all that excitement, I would assume that there'll be some excitement with the donors. But yeah, they're going to get this done. This isn't going to be a dream. I just think that the COVID killed everybody, guys. Let me tell you something. That beautiful stadium up there in Stillwater, it wouldn't have been built if COVID would have hit like a year and a half earlier, right? They wouldn't have kept going. But they got it done before all this, and that just worked out perfectly for them.
My final question, the sport of softball, how big can it get? At least not just locally, regionally here in the state of Oklahoma, where it appears me being a softball dad, it just seems like it's just consuming my world right now. But how big is there a ceiling? Have we seen the ceiling? Is it getting bigger? What's your opinion on that?
There is definitely a ceiling, and we're close to it. I hate to say that. I mean, I know. I think it's so cool that these young girls are able to do it. But they've had a softball. We looked it up the other day. They've had a fast-pitch women's softball pro teams for a long time, guys. I can't even remember the year that I came up with. And people don't even know it. I mean, I've had like 3 calls in the last 2 weeks of going, hey, is there any professional women's, you know, what can they do? The answer is, yeah, it does. And they probably make, what, $25,000 or something? So I told the story on the air. I'll tell it again. I remember when the World Cup came here. When was that, guys? Do you remember in
99, yeah.
Okay. And Mark Rogers.
Oh, the men's. Yeah, that was like 94.
Okay. Was it 94?
Yeah,
the men's.
The men's, yeah.
Mark Rogers went down to Dallas, and he worked the World Cup. You know, he's one of those dudes that stood on the sidelines and gave the balls back and stuff. Hmm. And he came back, and he was like, Jim, he goes, soccer's going to take off after this World Cup. And I was like, yeah, we'll see. Well, has it taken off? Hmm. The answer is no. Okay? Now, they got bigger leagues now, and I guess it's more important than it used to be, but it's not taking off. It's not going to get to the point where these other sports are. And it's never going to be like it is in other countries. Unfortunately, women's softball, I just don't think it's ever going to be a mass situation. But, hey, let me tell you something, Jared. Sometimes your little niche is cool. You know, so everybody wants to be bigger. You know, I've had a couple chances to go to some other places to do shows. ESPN wanted me to do a radio show about 15 years ago. Arizona, I could have stayed out there and done some stuff. But you know what? I got a really nice little niche here, guys. I love it here. My family loves it here. Great people. Get to go on with you guys every Monday. So, yeah, I you know, sometimes your niche is fine. Instead of in other words, bigger is not always better. How about that? So your daughter, you got only one daughter, right, Jerry?
Two daughters.
Your two daughters, they need to say, hey, the pinnacle is getting there, what we watched this past week. And if by the time they get there, if it's something's gotten bigger, great. I just don't see it happening, fellas. I really don't. I don't want to be Mr. Negative Nancy. I just don't see it happening.
It's funny you say that because I couldn't watch the game three with my daughter because it was at 2 o'clock. But when I got home and I showed her the highlight, she looks at me and says, Dad, that's why I want to go to OU, because they win. And I just grinned ear to ear. Okay, honey, I like yours. You got to work at it, but we can get there.
That's great, man. She should try it. That's exactly right. I strive to get to the big leagues. That's the number one thing. Young girls should be striving to get to the College World Series, because that's the number one thing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it, right, Skinny? There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's a cool, cool event. We're so lucky that it's played right here in the middle of Oklahoma. It's just a cool week or so every year, just to kind of, and it's fun to watch. They have so much fun. The joy on their faces as they play that game,
yeah,
is just, it's infectious, yeah. And you can't help but just love watching it.
And as I said to Matt Ravis, as he brings up the word joy, the joy isn't flipping your bat and looking at the pitcher,
right,
and standing in the batter's box. You know, I mean, that to me is not joy. That's showing people up. And I know I'm an old fogey, okay? But that's joy. Although I still don't understand all the singing and all the stuff they do in the dugout. That trips me out a little bit.
Listen, back. I was watching my little niece this weekend at the tournament that we had here before Jared's team was beat them out or whatever. And they would stand on the bench in the dugout, stomp on it a few times, jump down, say whatever they were saying, and then kick the fence in front of them. And I was like, okay, I guess that's what's happening. Hey, speaking of softball.
So, Jared, your daughter's beat up on Skinny's niece. Is that what you're telling me?
They have before. Jared's team is good. My little niece's team is good.
Yeah, we qualified. We came in second place, but we qualified for state, so we're going to go do that in a couple weeks.
Well, very good, dude. You know what? I was just telling my wife the other day that I'm very, very happy that our children are all old. I don't have to do any of the stuff you guys are doing. I just thought I'd let y'all know.
Yeah, if it sounds like we're tired, it's because we've been at the ball fields all weekend. Yeah, we're tired.
12-hour day on Saturday. That was
a
bunch. Hey, speaking of softball, did you guys get Patty and Kenny lined up for today?
I don't know. Kenny is definitely lined up. I don't know what's going on with Patty. I'm going to have to – the minute I get off with you, I'm going to text Tony and see if he got it done. So, I mean, she's had a lot going on. By the way, how dumb is her new daughter-in-law for having a wedding this weekend? They couldn't figure out that there may be something going on.
I was kind of wondering that myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's cutting it pretty close.
By the way, that's okay. I know people that like are getting married on OU Texas weekend too. So, I mean, and they're huge. OU Texas fans, but the daughter-in-law, decided they wanted to do it on OU Texas weekend.
Listen, that's when you say nope and go on down life's path, because that's just
That's exactly right. Absolutely.
All right, Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Have a good week next week in Vegas.
Absolutely, yeah, I'll be there next week, and I'll be back the other, and then I'll be pretty soon. I'll be coming out there to July 1st, coming out there.
Yep, July 1st to be on site. Hey, thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right, see you guys.
That is the ultimate Jim Traber joining us as he does on Monday. We better get out of here.
Yeah, a little overtime there. Oh, it's well. All right. Good stuff, as always, from Jim.
You got the proud dad chest bowing out.
Oh, come on.
Hey, might as well be proud.
I'm a proud papa.
Absolutely. Everybody have a great day. Stay hydrated. It's going to be hot all week. We'll be back tomorrow. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.